Please be seated. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a natural disaster that affects a community. I did when I was a young priest, actually, in Galveston Island, which is right off the coast of Texas, right below Houston. And the highest point on the island is 17 feet. And I went through a hurricane there. The storm surge was 18 feet. The wind was 120 miles an hour. I'm here to tell you that as a child of the desert, Albuquerque, my hometown, gets about 10 inches of rain a year. And we got, 28 inches of rain in one day with the hurricane. So not only did we have the storm surge, but all the rain on top of that. And needless to say, I was totally terrified. I'm not sure I have ever been that afraid or since for my life. There was a point that I thought, I am going to Jesus. Truly, I thought I was going to go to Jesus. After the hurricane, it's a big mess. You can't believe the amount of power that sustained winds of 120 miles have. So there are these huge granite blocks out in the ocean that are part of the seawall. And some of those granite blocks tumbled up out of the ocean and up on top of the seawall. Unbelievable. One of the parishioners' houses was flat, a flat roof, slanted, but the lip of the roof was, the high side was to the water, and the wind caught the little lip, and over the course of the sustained wind, rolled back this tar roof like a big rug, and it dropped into the backyard. Now, if we'd been able to pick it up and put it back on top of the house, they could have had their roof. But the power of that sustained wind was incredible. The amount of damage, it was horrible, horrible. So there were parts of the island that were without water for 6 months. Our house was out of electricity for 6 weeks. And the church, which was luckily right across the street, was only out for 10 days. So just in case you, if anybody says evacuate because there's a hurricane coming, just do it. Nothing works. Nothing works. You can't get gas in your car. The soda pop machines don't work. The ATMs don't work. Nothing works. Nothing. Anyway, when we got church back open again and gathered people, everybody's lives were up in the air. And when we finally got back together again, we didn't care if the church had windows or a roof or lights or electricity or music or leaflets or a bulletin or any of the stuff that goes along with. What we really, really were thankful for was that we could be with each other. I think that natural disasters like that remind us of how important it is for us to be together. Our first reading from Isaiah is really a beautiful song, almost at the end of the book of Isaiah, Deutero-Isaiah, and it's a song that was being sung when the people were coming back from the Babylonian captivity. This is a time where their society, their culture, their religion, everything was kind of packed up and moved over, and then they were coming back, but to what? Every tradition, every history, every sense of themselves as a people in a geographic place had been broken. They, in a sense, had experienced a hurricane in their lives. It was not a natural disaster, it was a political one. So when they came back, they were mindful. So this beautiful psalm or song that is being sung, and it has these words in it which we need to be mindful of. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them or healed them. It was God's presence among his God's people that is what healed them, saved them, called them back to who they were as a people. God's presence. Now, for you and I, we need to ponder what it means about God's presence. And here is just a little spoiler alert. When we gather in the name of God, we become part of the presence of God. We know that God is here for many ways and many ideas and many reasons and many branches of theology, but the truth of it is, when you and I gather together, we are a sign, a witness to the presence of God. That part of being together is what brings us salvation and healing. Being together. It isn't about beautiful windows and organs and I don't know what. All of those things are good. I'm not against any of those things. But what heals us is that we are together. We are brothers and sisters. The second reading speaks to us about Jesus coming amongst us. So if there was ever any doubt that you and I might entertain, oh no, God can't be amongst us now because, you know, the person that splashed me in the gutter on the way to church this morning didn't get a Christmas thought. You know, it's difficult sometimes for me to think that God dwells within me. I see all the cobwebs in my attic. And we can all entertain those thoughts. But here's what it says to us in Hebrews. That Jesus came to be like us. So much so that he was our brother in every way possible and called us brothers and sisters. The depth of that kind of relationship that is from Jesus. We don't have anything to say about it, sorry. The depth of that relationship, brothers and sisters, blood, indivisible, not possible to divide, not possible to say it's not in existence. So if you and I ever had any doubt that when we gather together, we become the presence of God, we are a sign of the presence of God, Jesus has also come to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us, to bring us healing together. Healing from what? In the Old Testament, they saw death as a sign of evil. Well, there are a lot of different theologies about all of that, and I don't want to go down that particular rabbit hole this morning, except to say that when it says Jesus overcame the evil of death, it made a lot more sense to them, or some of them, because they had that theology that death was a product of evil. They did get this thought right, that because Jesus came to be like us, brother and sister, that when he died and rose, but when he died, he took all of us with him, so that when we die, we can also rise again. But that there's no doubt that what we will experience in life has been touched by Jesus, who is our brother in all ways. We don't have to be afraid of being human and experiencing human things, feelings, anger even, a little disappointment that somebody has to splash me on the way to church. Those things happen. They're a part of life. We don't have to be afraid of being human. It is how Jesus has come to us, to give us the idea that being human, with all of the disappointments and joys and wonderful things that can happen, are a way for us to get to know God. This is by God's design. And even the thing that you and I might fear the most, which could be death, is not something that can separate us from the love of God. Even death cannot separate us from the love of God. This is the incarnation. Jesus made flesh, incarnated to teach us that it is in the flesh that God has created that we will find the presence of God. If the Old Testament teaches us that God is, the New Testament and Jesus teaches us these words, with us, and the Holy Spirit teaches us in us. Here's some Franciscan theology. I'm going to go through it real quick. God is with us and in us. Do you hear? God Creator, God Redeemer, God Spirit. God is with us and in us. Okay? So in conclusion, happy words. You and I have a very important thing to be in the world. We are to be the presence of God. When we gather, and how can we do that? Do we need to only do it here in this church? No. Everywhere, you and I can be. We can give witness to the presence of God with us and in us. And together, in this presence, we are healed from everything that would divide us from love. Everything. Our sister Marcia has just died. It hurts me. I could not almost finish Mass this morning at the 8 because I didn't expect to see her name in the book. I know that you're sad too. The victory of love doesn't stop. We know that, don't we? That love does not stop. If you have any doubt, and we always do, Jesus comes to assure us that God is with us and in us. Love. Happy, incredible feast of the Incarnation. God is with us and in us.